Brett's Breakfast Show. This is the Alan and Carly Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. Your letter for Alphabucks tomorrow, the bit that you're all waiting for, is T for Tango.
Ooh, let's tango.
It takes two to tango, as they famously say. I reckon you'll get that. Maybe this one. There's two tricky ones. But as I famously always say, if you know, you know. So starting with the letter T, name me a herb.
Why is trangy coming to mind?
Trainee?
Trangy.
Trangy. I don't know what trangy.
No, I don't know. Like, I actually don't know.
Excellent. Then I've chose the right one, the tricky one. Turmeric?
Oh, yeah.
Thyme?
Oh, my God. There's so many.
Or tarragon is what I've got written here.
So many.
Yes. But I was like you, or I'm like, I think that's one that would stump me a little bit on the spot. So hopefully that helps everyone else out. Your letter T, of course. Love a bit of turmeric, you know,
in your curries. Are people still putting them in, remember turmeric lattes? Are people still doing that?
Yeah, they're still doing those, unfortunately. I remember when it was like a craze in Narragin, it came to Narragin, so that was probably about 3 years later than the rest of the world. And so the guy that ran the cafe there was like, you got to try these beetroot lattes and turmeric lattes. And like, I love a gimmick, so I was like, yeah, let's give it a crack. And I don't like chai lattes, so I didn't like it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
When he said latte, I was like, you had me at latte, and then I didn't expect like a chai latte style, and I was like, well, this is not good for me, so yeah.
Apparently turmeric's really good anti-inflammatory, though.
It is. Julia makes me take it when I'm whinging about my calves, and I go, oh, Julia, I need a massage. She's like, turmeric.
But how are you taking turmeric?
Anally, every time.
Okay.
Just straight out the rectum.
Yep.
I've got one now. Like 8 tablets.
I thought you seemed a little up.
Yeah, it's been hard to sit.
A little uptight.
It wasn't that tight. That's how I managed to get so many in. All up the butt.
Okay, this podcast has taken a turn, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, sure has. I just like the tablets you just swallow, like the big.
Turmeric tablets?
Yeah. There's turmeric tablets. Yeah, absolutely. Not just suppositories. There's actually legit tablets that you would take orally as well.
Wow, you learn something new every day.
Have you not taken me? Like, this is just, Julia's got a Thai mum, so she's just like constantly like, every herb can fix everything. And it's like, well, maybe not every herb.
Well, I do remember when my dog was going through her sickness, we were prescribed to give her turmeric.
Yep.
Now, all they said was to give her turmeric, so I'm literally there.
I'll put a bag of turmeric. And so you just, the dog's face is like stained bright yellow.
I didn't know how to give it to her, so I just remember shaking turmeric and mixing it into her food.
Oh, wow. Did it stain?
No, it didn't stain. Oh. Well, it was. I think I was feeding her at the time, like chicken, so it would just like turn the chicken yellow.
Yeah, you get it on your fingers, yellow,
and it stains your bench top.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. I'm scared of it, to be honest. Yeah. Whenever Jill is cooking with, I'm just watching her like a hawk. I'm like, what are you doing with that? There's got a white cabinet right there. Careful, but she knows. She knows. Well, anyway, we'll let you enjoy the podcast. I got a passport photo to take, so got to look my best, you know.
Maybe get a haircut beforehand?
I'm not getting a haircut. This is as good as it gets.
I could help you out there.
I think it's finally got to a good length, if I'm being honest.
No, I don't mind it.
I hate it when I first get a haircut. They always go too short. And then so it takes like a week for it to actually get to like a length where I'm like, I can tolerate that.
Can men cut their own beards? Because surely
I cut my own beard all the time. This is all me.
Yeah, good on you. You look great.
When are you going to work on your beard, mate?
I actually asked Russell yesterday, what would he do if I grew a full-blown beard.
Full-blown
beard. Because women do get a little hairier on the chin when
absolutely.
They get older.
Absolutely. Of course they do. Not even older. Like, some women are, like, going through it and, like,
in
Sarah Silverman's book, if you ever read it, is hilarious. She talks about just how hairy she was, like, as a kid and having to deal with all that. It's hilarious.
No, but you know what he said to me? He goes, I would be so jealous. He goes, I've always struggled to grow facial hair.
Oh.
I was like, oh, that's kind of a supportive answer.
It explains why he keeps asking me about my beard every time we hang out. He's just like, so what's it like?
Russell has the patchiest beard.
Yeah.
Poor guy. He's always tried. He tries.
Do you have a bit of facial hair going on when we saw him last?
He does, but that's been years in the making.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah. Well, you know.
A lot of beard oil.
Good to know he's not good at everything. That's what I say. The perfect son of a bitch. Enjoy the podcast. We're talking all things nostalgia, those toys that you just didn't get as a kid that you always wanted.
Yeah, I recently saw in the shops, Alan, Puppy Surprise.
Surprise! Puppy Surprise! How many puppies are there inside?
and it absolutely triggered me. I wanted to buy it so bad because I have so much unfinished business with Puppy Surprise. I wanted a Puppy Surprise for a good, I reckon, 5-6 years straight.
Yep.
Never got Puppy Surprise.
Yeah, you can hear it in her voice every day if you actually listen close enough, to be honest. But we're asking on 131060, what toy did you always want but you never got? Kylie from Albany kicks us off this morning. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Very, very well. What was the toy for you?
Oh, my God, a Cabbage Patch doll.
Oh, I've got the ad here. Yeah.
The Cabbage Patch Kids. Each doll is different, and you can pretend to adopt them.
My baby has a real diaper.
You can love and care for them like your very own.
You're a pal. You're the only one. I love you.
Oh, kind of creepy.
Oh, why would you trigger her like that? Sorry, Kylie. I actually had a Cabbage Patch doll, and the best thing about them was the smell of them.
What was the smell?
I know. Oh, and the smell never goes.
It never goes. And
Kylie, what would you know? You never got one.
I did, eventually.
If you I had
two girls, and they were both bought one from, like, their auntie. It was so not fair. So I carried on like a pork chop to my mum. And without a lie, I was like, I'm a grown woman with two children, and I eventually got one for my birthday.
Oh, yay! There you go. That is amazing.
Kids listening in the car, don't do that. It won't work on your parents, I guarantee it.
Give it a go.
Every mum and dad, right? Switch the radio. Nick from Narrogin, for you, mate, what was the toy that you always wanted but you never got?
Voltron. But I have four brothers and they got jealous because my dad was buying me.
You're cutting out a little bit. I do have the ad here. It's this.
King Zarkon has landed on the planet Arras and the evil Skull Scavenger is rolling out the Skull Tank. Can Keith, Lance and the rest of the crew stop them? Or will they have to call on Voltron, Defender of the Universe?
Voltron, Defender of the Universe!
Oh, jeez, I want one.
Yeah,
Nick, that sounds awesome.
He comes in six different figurines and they build a bit. Robots to defend the Earth, no, but my brothers broke one or two of the figurines and my dad stopped buying them, so I never got the complete set.
Oh no!
Yeah, I know. Poor brothers, mate.
Now,
yeah.
Have you ever thought?
My brother broke my Spider-Man, and I still bring it up, mate. I'm 100% with you. Jeez. Now I'm getting a bit angry on Nick's behalf. Let's wrap it up with Margaret in Cable. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, guys.
Now, what was the toy that you always wanted as a kid but you never got?
I know it sounds pathetic, but it was just a plain old teddy bear.
No. I'm with you, Margaret. So you never had one?
No. Mum was a single mum.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Divorced my dad when I was born. We came out from England in 64. And with six kids, she never had the money to buy us a lot of toys.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and when we came out here, whatever toys we had in England, we had to leave.
Because
you could only have so much luggage.
Oh.
So when I turned 15 and started my first job at Freecorns, I, with my first pay, went and bought a cuddly, soft teddy bear and a bikini.
Do you still have this teddy bear, Margaret?
No, only until about 3 years ago. And it was so ratty and worn out from being cuddled to death, I actually had to throw it.
Margaret, you got the teddy bear in the end. Oh, that's, you know what? That's, kids, listen to that. That's appreciation for a toy. Don't
you
be demanding them.
Go and get a job.
Yeah, well, okay, that's also another lesson to take away. So many lessons this morning. Hit Breakfast with Alan and Carly and Mars Singer last night.
Guess what? I'm having more fun. And now that we're done, I'm going to show you.
Look into Ella Brandy, Wentworth Neighbours. Oh, my God, you won Survivor. Pia Miranda
from the show who joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
My God, what a twist. What an absolute twist. No one picked it. I didn't pick it. Carly, did you pick it?
Not even close.
No, none of the hosts picked it at all. You duped everyone.
No, I know. Actually, I think, you know, Chrissy and I grew up together, so I thought she would pick me.
Yeah.
And she said right before my reveal, she thought maybe it's Pia.
Obviously, it's great that you're on the Masked Singer. It looked like you had a great time. But I want to talk about Survivor for half a second. As you are a queen of Survivor, Pia, I want to know, have you been interested in being approached about going back to another season?
I think that I'm going to leave my torch unsnuffed. I don't think anyone's going to fall for my nonsense twice. So, yeah, I'm just going to leave it unsnuffed.
Now, one of your clues was absolutely genius. It was a photo of the actress Lily James. And as we since learned, that your kids' names are Lily and James.
Genius.
And you also said that you had to keep it a complete secret from them. And as we know, people that are on The Masked Singer, it's almost like you go into a witness protection program. Were there any moments where you almost got caught?
It was pretty full on. Like, we would call, if we had to talk about it in front of the kids, we'd call it the MS Readathon. So they thought I was doing the MS Readathon.
That's so good.
That's all we could think of as a code word. So, yeah, no one really guessed it. Only my husband knew. Actually, I forgot to tell my acting agent. So I hope they're not mad at me.
Does that mean they don't get paid? Because that's smart.
No, I've got a manager for that, but I have to tell them. They wake up and be like, what's she doing?
I'm curious as well, because we were just talking before about all the clues and people trying to figure it out. When you're going to be on the show, how intense is like their interrogation to find out stuff about you? Because they really dig up a lot of different stuff to be able to use as clues.
Yeah, I mean, they do a couple of hours of interviews and they really dive deep into your past and stuff. I just always have to let everyone know there's something on my Wikipedia that says I was in a thing called Doppelgangers, and it always comes up and I've never heard of it. So I always have to go to them, don't bring that up because I don't think it's true. But apart from that, they just really ask you some, you know, crazy questions that not many people would know.
So do you get a say in the clues on the show?
No. I mean, you know, wow. You know, you just give them lots of information and then you... yeah, they tell you later, this is what we did. I saw some really cute stuff. Like, there was one where one of the people with thong had an eye patch on and I'd stabbed my eye out in Wentworth. Yep. And they had the knight and me in love. And the knight was obviously Toadie. And Toadie and I were boyfriend and girlfriend and neighbours. Yep. So really cute things like that.
What's for you next? Or are you not allowed to say? Is it like Masked Singer somewhere else?
Oh, you never know. I'm going to release a pop album.
Oh, that could be cool.
Let's do that.
Maybe we'll see you in the jungle?
No, I can't. You know, one thing I will not do is jump out of a plane.
Oh. Yeah, no, I feel that. Yeah.
I just can't. The worst thing about Survivor for me was the heights and jumping off the big high thing. I just freak out. So that's never going to happen. No, I just shot a thing for Channel 10 called Riptide. So I did some acting, which was nice.
Cool.
And then, who knows what's next?
Awesome. Well, looking forward to seeing what it is and looking forward to that pop album as well. Let's get around it, Pia. Thanks so much for the chat. Say The Masked Singer returns again on Sunday at 7:30 on Channel 10 and catch up on 10 Play. Thanks for the chat, Pia.
Thank you.
Cross to Germany right now for a court case that is currently involving, well, a bit of a cock up.
If they had a current affair over there, which I'm sure they do, then we would be watching this on that.
Absolutely.
So basically what's happened is it's the ultimate case of Neighbor Wars cock edition.
The neighbor from hell.
Yeah.
Listen to his arrogance.
So what's happened is Frederick and his wife Jutta are at a war, literally taking a rooster named Magda to court. And literally, in their words, this rooster is torturing them.
Yep.
They said they want it removed from their neighbor's home, who owns the rooster. But you know what's funny? They're not necessarily targeting the neighbors. They're taking particular issues with the rooster itself. Like, they're taking it very personal. So they're saying that they can't use their garden. They can't open any windows. They said that from 8 a.m. in the morning, which for a rooster, because normally they're up at the crack of dawn.
Well, that's what I thought their job is.
That's a bit of a sleep.
Pretty much their one job.
Exactly right. And what they've started doing is they've logged every single time that this rooster crows. They're saying it's crowing for up to 100 to 200 times a day.
Jeez.
And it's becoming unbearable.
80 decibels is what they've tracked as well, which is basically the kind of volume of like a really busy street.
But also, who's got time for, like, this is becoming a full-time job, this whole issue with the rooster.
Yeah.
I mean...
Just eat it.
No, but what I love is that the council is refusing to remove the bird. So the council's kind of siding with the bird. It is...
You'd hate that. That would suck. Like, you know, like putting all the work in and then the council's taking side with a bird. That'd be irritating. Especially when it's not even an endangered bird or anything. It's just a rooster.
You don't know. It could be a special kind.
I doubt that.
But anyway,
sounds special.
If you want to know, they are heading to court over this.
Oh, cool.
I just want to see what the rooster wears to court.
Absolutely. I imagine just like that. It's just like, oh, I'm a rooster. It's got that voice, old school court style. That's going to be great.
And I also want to know, like, are they going to log every single time? And you know how they play the evidence? Are mm-hmm. they just going to play it crowing?
Like sitting through 200 of those in a day. Like, and at first, exhibit A, Monday. Just that over and over.
Alan, today's deep dive is on the dancing plague. Have you heard of this phenomena?
Dancing plague? No, yeah. I have not heard of this.
Well, we are taking it way, way, way back for this deep dive. So we are taking it all the way back to the summer of 1518.
That's fairly far back. Yep, okay.
Fairly far
yep,
back.
Yep.
So the dancing plague took place in the Roman city of Strasbourg. I hope I said that right.
Doesn't think you did, but anyway.
Not even close. Basically, what happened was it was pretty serious in the end. Over 100 people died.
Oh.
Yeah, let's wind it back to how this crazy phenomena began. So on July 14th in 1518, a woman named Frau Troliafa, again, just
you're going to have to make a lot of apologies after this deep dive,
yeah.
I reckon.
From the city of Strasbourg in France, left her house, took to the streets, and she began dancing. And then she kept going for hours and hours until she was at the point where she was sweating and twitching on the ground. She was unable to stop to the point where she actually collapsed from exhaustion.
No.
So then she rested and people thought, oh, that was a bit of a weird situation. And the second she woke up, she started dancing straight away again. Now, her body by this point is pretty beaten up and she's not in a great state.
Yeah.
So this continued on for days. And within a week, more than 30 other people from her town had joined her in the streets and they had all started dancing to the point where people could not stop these people dancing. And they're not having a great time. Like, some of them are bleeding from injuries. Like, they're at the point of absolute exhaustion. So the local council then said, what is going on with all these people? This is so bizarre.
Fair question.
We need to stop this. Like, yeah. People are not in a good way.
Oh, and this is the movie Footloose.
You know what they did, Alan? They decided, in what they thought was a stroke of genius, to actually, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. So then they decided.
That's not fixing the problem.
They decided, I kid you not, this is a true story, to invite local musicians to play at the dance hall. They herded up all the dancers
yeah.
and all of the townspeople and basically put on the music. And it got to the point where it actually got worse. Soon up to 400 people from the town had joined in this crazy frenzy dancing. People were dancing so much that they weren't even stopping for food and drink. People were bleeding. Their bodies were bruised. They were worn out. People were collapsing from exhaustion. And then the local doctors were brought in because they're like, what is this phenomenon? Like, people are not stopping dancing. It's so wild. And at first they said that they thought it was a result of overheated blood on the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they kind of thought this was the case, they didn't really know what to do about it. And then they took a further look and they said, oh, you know what it is? It's not overheated blood. What it is it must be...
headless.
No, they must be possessed.
Okay, of course, straight to possession every
straight
time.
Straight to possession. By the way, it's the 1518.
Yeah. Well, some people still say it today.
So what they then decided to do is they took the dancers up to a dedicated shrine of St. Vitus, located in the hills of a nearby town. So they rounded them all up and basically they made them dance around this wooden figurine of this saint.
Of course they did.
Which, by the way, kind of worked. People stopped dancing after a while, but after dancing for up to 2 whole months, 100 people from the town did die from overexertion.
God.
So this has baffled scientists for years and years, and there's been two kind of theories that have been named the most plausible. So the first theory by scientists was that the dancers might have actually consumed bread made from rye flour that was contaminated with a fungal disease, which is known to produce convulsions. So they're saying that could have happened.
Oh, so that was convulsing, and they thought that was dancing.
Yeah.
Okay, yep.
Another popular theory is that it could have been a case of mass hysteria caused by extreme stress, because at the time the town was going through smallpox, syphilis, famine, so there was a lot of stress for those townspeople. So they were saying it could have just been a case of, we're all stressed out, we're just going to dance it out. That is the interesting case, which, by the way, is still not solved, of the dancing plague.
And of course it did pop up again in the 70s, but it was called disco fever back at that moment. Great deep dive.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast.